Good to see you. Does anybody not know me? Anyone doesn't know who I am? Okay, my name's Bernard. I live in Wallingford. I used to be, about 100 years ago, the pastor of Ridgeway before Gareth came along. And what's this for? Sorry. No, I don't have any of them. No, I've got me. That's me. Let's have a bit of room. That's all we need. A bit of room to move around. Praise God. It's good to be here. Good to see you guys and to see what God's doing. And my prayer is that just being here today, that God will just come and move in this place. If we're going to use the word desperate, and I liked it on the teas and coffees, we definitely need more help on teas. But there's a lot of desperate things going on in the world, isn't there? I was thinking, you know, in this so muddled and confused world, we've had the Brexit this year. I won't ask you how you voted. We've had the presidential race. And we won't comment on that either. And we've got the continual problem with ISIS and the Syrian conflict going on. We're in a desperate world. Wars and rumors of wars and people longing for peace and security in their lives. So we're going to see what God has to say about it. So let's just pray together, shall we, for a moment. Father, right here in this place, we know that you alone are the solution to the needs of this world. You're the solution to the many needs of the people here in Didcot. That without you, Lord, there is no hope. But yet, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy, you sent your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might know life through him. And you sent your Spirit, that we might be empowered to live for your glory. And so we pray as we come together, you would lift our minds from a troubled world into the realm of the triumphant God, that we might be raised up, Lord, into who we are in Christ Jesus, and that we might learn to understand and live in that exalted place, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to turn your thoughts, and it's getting towards Christmas. I thought I'd pick that up a little, and I want to turn your thoughts to Isaiah and chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Just want to read a couple of verses to you from verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David, the passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Amen. The thrust of what I want to say to you is resting on these words. The government will be on his shoulders. The weight and the responsibility rests on Christ alone. Now, God is in no rush to establish all of this, as we know. But we do know that God is passionate about this. His passion is that the rule of all things rests upon the shoulders of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the challenge that I have as I come before you this morning is to say that I know probably the great majority of you here have faith in Christ. Probably the great majority of you believe what I've just read. Amen? But the challenge that I find is that I see so many Christians who are not living in that realm of victory and anointing and power and authority and glory and victory that Jesus came to establish. I find Christian lives messed up. I find people in places of despair. I find people living in a place of fear and defeat because they've not fully grasped all that God wants for us. We know the Christian life is a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual, to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. But many Christians have never fully grasped how to apply those weapons and pull down Satan's strongholds in our own lives and in the environment where we're living. What I'm saying to you is that God has a mission for you. The mission, well, you've got a mission statement here. Well, let me tell you what God's mission is. God's mission is that through your lives and through your testimony, the government will rest on his shoulders. Before it can happen out there, clearly it needs to happen right here. That the government of God, that I'm living in the government of God, with all that that means. Now, if I was to say to you, if I come and just sort of said, I want to talk about Jesus this morning, you'd all be very happy about that, I'm sure. And I wonder how many of us know the titles of the name of Jesus. How many are there? Anybody know that? In the Bible? Where are my elders here today? Let's just, I like to focus on the elders, you know, because they know everything, don't they? How many titles are there in the name of Jesus?
200.
Yeah, probably more than that. A few more than that, I think. Well, let's try it another way. Shout out a title to the name of Jesus.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, God with us. Sorry?
Prince of
Peace. The Good Shepherd.
Savior.
Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's our provider.
Chief Cornerstone.
Chief Cornerstone. The Lamb of God. Alpha and Omega. Yeah. Well, you can ruin it. Interesting, here's a question for you. I like people who are on the ball. Here's the question. Why is it, amidst all the titles that belong to Jesus and so many more, for he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. But why is it here that we've only got four titles? That's a good answer. Yeah. The answer, of course, is in the text. Let's have a look again. Here it says this. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles. Have you come across that before? These will be his royal titles. It's not actually written down in that. It must be a NIV, I think. But here in the New Living Translation, these shall be his royal titles. I got excited about that because I believe that we need to come to terms with the royal titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The babe of Bethlehem became the Christ of Calvary, who becomes and is and always the Lord of glory. But his royal titles are written here. Many more titles, as we've already seen. Do you remember the message of the angels when they came? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. The wise men came looking, for he was being born King of the Jews. And when the shepherds were in the fields by night, and the angels come and said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Interesting that, isn't it? That the revelation came to the lowest of the Jewish people, the shepherds. They're considered the lowest of the low out in the fields. They didn't get to all the religious gatherings and meetings. They were pretty low down in the order, the hierarchy, as it were. And then a revelation to the highest of the Gentiles, three wise men, three kings who came from the east, who were not Jews, who came to worship him. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus always did come to be the one who would bring together, who would break down the wall of partition and bring together Jew and Gentile. That was his mandate, that he would bring all things together in himself. So the first of his royal titles, and that's the interesting thing we're coming to, I want you to understand this, that these are his royal titles. All the other titles are important, but these are his royal titles. He is first of all. And you'd be surprised, because if I had to write four royal titles, I might have written one or two different ones. But these are the ones that are written. Wonderful Counselor. You know, it's only when democracy gives way to theocracy that we will get the stability in our world which cannot be shaken. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the one who we need to recognize. We need a cosmic shift in the way in which we think and evaluate things. And even in the church we do. You see, if he is the wonderful counselor, we need to know that we're living under that counsel. That we're living in the place where all the wisdom of God is available to us, that we can begin to move into that place. These are not just titles. This is who he is. This is what he has to offer to each one of us. As we come to Christ, the Savior, we come to the one who is the wonderful counselor. And not only is he the wonderful counselor, but he said, you remember, to the disciples in the upper room, he said, "But when I go away, I will send you another counselor, even the Spirit of Truth, who will be with you and will be in you." All the counsel that we ever needed is available to us in God. None of us need to be fuzzled in our thinking. None of us needs to be at the end of our tether. All the wisdom of God is there available for every believer. All you need to know, have you got problems at the moment? Where are you going to find answers to your problems? Let me tell you, in the wisdom of God. The counselor, the wonderful counselor. Wonderful because he is wonderful. Wonderful counselor because all the counsel that he gives carries the authority of God. All the counseling that he gives is able to release us and bring us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There's nothing can stand against us when we're living under the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get rid of the stinking thinking and begin to think under his anointing and start to bring the issues into his presence. Only a short while ago, I was looking at the whole thing of the promises of God. You know, the Bible says all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And I was just meditating on that, and the Lord gave me a particular promise. I won't go into it right now what it is, but he gave me a particular promise. And I thought, well, yeah, that's a promise from God. And he said, learn to plunder the promises. Learn to break into the kingdom and take hold of what God has promised. It's no good knowing, I'm going to be honest with you, it's no good knowing that Jesus is a wonderful counselor unless I acknowledge that counsel in my own life and in my own family and in my own circumstances and in my own situation. I acknowledge his rule and his government in that area. If I'm talking about being a Christian, I'm saying, Lord, for the rest of my life, I want to sit under the counsel of God. I want the wisdom of God to be my wisdom. Let me show you what I mean. If you get your Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says this, verse 4. He said, the message, this is Paul speaking, obviously. My message and my preaching were very plain. I didn't use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. I'm sorry, but in our Western society, we're hammered with human wisdom. Many of you, you don't even know it, but your mind is being geared to this flow of what they call political correctness. And a lot of that is ungodly and unrighteous. Do not be fooled to thinking it's good thinking. It's not. It's not. You say, but aren't certain things? Yeah, you know, the devil's no idiot. He gives you some things to think about. You think, well, that sounds right, and that sounds right. And some things are righteous. But if you're walking in Christ, you will be righteous anyway. We don't need to think the way the world thinks. He goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 again, and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, he says this. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And his Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us his Spirit, not the world's spirit, his Spirit. Grasp that? Not the world's spirit. So that we can know the wonderful things that God has given us. And verse 14, but people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. Now, he says again there in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 27, listen to this. It says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God deliberately chose the things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important, so that no one can ever boast in the presence of God. You'll see, Christ is our wisdom. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy, and he gave himself to purchase our freedom. So, the counsel of God. I've got to get my life from where it is so that it sits at the counsel of God. Whatever decisions you're trying to make as an individual or as a family or even as a fellowship need to be dominated by this one thing. We need the counsel. We need the wisdom of God. He is our wisdom. He is our wonderful counselor. Now, the second thing that we come across here in his royal titles is the mighty God. Almighty God. All might and all power belong to him. You know, men fight for power. Politics, for the great measure, is all about power. Man has a hunger for power. One of the great obstacles to the gospel in people's lives is that we don't want to let go of control, of power. You see it in the church. You see people who are after control in the church. It's one of the great problems that we have, that we fail to grasp the divine principle that the kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. Jesus didn't search for power when he stood before Pilate. Pilate said, "I've got the power." And he said, "You don't have any power. You don't have anything except what's given you from above." You've got to understand that God is the one who has the power. Men strive for it only to watch it crumble. And yet each generation seems to produce a fresh turmoil and a fresh struggle for power. Yet for all of this, God's plan and purpose remain steadfast, that our security lies in the power of God and his Christ. And I want to give you some assurance on that today, that whatever is going on around you, whatever forces are forcing their way and bringing turmoil and distress and anxiety into your life, there is a power greater than all of them. In Romans and chapter 8, you got a Bible there, you can turn with me. Romans chapter 8. Let's just turn to that. It's probably one of the best known, best loved chapters in the Bible. I just want to turn your thoughts for a moment to verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? Even the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, he says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Victory. Do you know, that is such a sweet word, victory. And yet there are many Christians who, though they know a measure of the Bible and would subscribe to the truth that we are preaching, if they're honest, they're not living in victory. I wonder how many of you are here today, and if you're honest with yourself, you know you're not living in victory. You're bound by fears. You're bound by anxieties. You've got stress and problem in your life. You're worried right now about members of your family. You're worried about job situations. You've probably got financial problems. And all these things weigh up. And you go away, and before you've even got outside the door, the weights come tumbling on. And you sit at home and think of all the other things. You think, well, Lord, I do love you, and I do believe in you. But listen, my friends, I'm talking not about loving him. I'm talking about the victory that comes through knowing him and knowing the power of God in your life, the power of his resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, he broke the power of death and hell. Amen. He broke all the powers that this world would wage against you. Amen. Amen. And if you believe it, I'm asking you, it's time. It's time for Christians to get into the reality of spiritual warfare, not just so I can say, I'm in a warfare. I know it's difficult. I'm in a fight. No, you're in the victory. And I'm not saying it's easy. Paul doesn't say it's easy there in Romans 8. But what he does say is, listen, I want you to know that this is the victory. Christ in us is the victory. In Christ we overcome. You remember the words there in Revelation? We overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. That's the key. It's not intellectual. It's not financial. It's not some sort of great gifting or tactics we've got. We overcome because he has already overcome. We overcome because he wants to release his victory into our lives in the power of his Holy Spirit. So this is it, isn't it? So despite all things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. As you'll sing in a week or two's time, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What does that mean? Great words. It means this. Whether you've got hopes or whether you've got fears, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the one who can meet you right now at the place of your need. You say, but you don't know my need. No, I don't, but he does. You say, yeah. And then they say, well, you know, look at the Bible. You see people living in victory, getting the victory in all kinds of situations. You know, ordinary men and women, but living the victorious life. Even in the Old Testament, they were living in victory. So many of them. And that victory is nothing compared to the victory that we have in Christ. Let me ask you a question. And I mean it honestly and with purpose here. Are you living at this moment in the security of Christ? Or does your boat keep getting rocked? Do the storms keep threatening you? Just like the disciples when they were out there cast about. Jesus was in the boat. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to doubt Jesus is in your boat. But are the storms so rough that you forget he's in the boat? Let's look at the third one. Everlasting Father. This rule, this kingdom, for all its power and its authority, and it's great, there's another element to it. The Father heart of God. The Father heart of God is at the core of all that God establishes in Christ. The divine love of the Father for each one of us. Let me tell you, this is your position. If you are redeemed through the blood of Christ. If you are a believer, you may say, well, I'm not a very mature believer. I've not been a Christian very long. Listen, when a child comes into your family, it inherits the rights of the family. You don't say, well, you've only just come, you can't have the same rights as the older brothers and sisters. No, we have a pecking order here. No, you don't. Everybody loves you. You're in the family. You know, you're cared for. I remember going to see my first grandchild, and I was so surprised when I picked up that little baby. I thought, you know, you're mine. I don't know how it happened, but there's a bond that's there that you never even realized. You could understand it with your own kids, but now it's somebody else. We think, no, it's not anybody else's. It's mine. The advantage is I don't have to be up at night with this one. But I felt the bond. And when you're in the family of God, you feel the bond. And the bond is held fast by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here it is, that when you are in the family, the divine favor of God rests on you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Do you get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm favored by God? Well, Chris and I recently just coming to that sense of, we've been with people saying, you know, we just feel like we're living under the favor of God in our lives. Wow. Hoo-hoo, nicky-nacky-noo. That's where you want to be. That's what you want. You want the favor of God on your life. And if you're not feeling that, if you're not experiencing that, if you're not breathing, I'm not asking you to make a theological statement about it. You can do that. I'm asking you if you feel it. I'm asking if it touches you, if your heart beats to that I'm in the security of his family, that his divine favor rests on me. And then the divine protection rests on me as well. Do you believe that? That you're protected in this mad world of sin, this world with values that are all over the place. We have a Savior, the everlasting Father, the one whose love is focused on you, and he protects you just like a parent protects their children. He protects you. He cares about you. And then there's the divine plan and purpose. What am I talking about? Well, in a word, I'm talking about your destiny. God's plan and purpose for your life that you may not even have discovered yet, but he's got one. And he's working it out. And it goes right through, outside of time, into eternity. For God's plans for me are eternal. They're not just for what I'm going to do in this life. That's why I've got a bigger vision now than I had when I was 21. A lot of people my age are wrapping it all up. I'm just unpacking it. Hallelujah! Amen, dear. Praise the Lord. Whoa. More, Lord. God's got more. The divine plan and purpose. And still, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That never changes. That's who you are in Christ. That's his royal title. The everlasting Father. The one who's always there. Always compassionate. Well, let's move to the fourth of these royal titles. The Prince of Peace. Lovely that, isn't it? Actually, it's more than a title. For me, it was more than a title. For me, it almost rounds things off. Let me show you what I mean. Did you notice how the triune God is manifest in these royal titles? Yeah? Have you seen that? The Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. It is a mystery. I know it's a mystery which we can't fully grasp and maybe we'll never fully grasp, even though we have eternity to think about it. It will overwhelm us. But nor more than the disciples. When they were with Jesus, you remember, and he says, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And he says, do you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's a mystery in it all. But here we have the wonderful counselor that reminds us, though Jesus himself is the counselor, it reminds us of the Holy Spirit, the other comforter, the other counselor who would come and be with you and be in you, the one who brings the indwelling force and power of God into our very beings. We have the counselor, we have the Father, the everlasting Father, and we have the Prince of Peace, and together, the mighty God, for God is one. Wow. Let me take you just to another passage of Scripture, to Colossians this time, just to remind you of these phenomenal words in the book of Colossians. It's a tremendous book that I think is probably one of the least studied, but let me share these words with you from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the first of all who will rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And by him, God reconciled to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth, and by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you. This includes you, who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. And as a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God. Let me tell you this. There's nothing more important than the presence. In the end, that's what it's all going to be about. If you've been involved in any move of the Spirit, any revival, any outpourings, as some of us have, you'll know that everybody says the same thing. In spite of spiritual gifts and healings and ministries going on, the one thing that stays with people is the presence, to be in the presence of God. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall of partition. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul says in Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's who Jesus is. He's the one who reconciles us to God. And then he brings peace within. He brings reconciliation within. So if you're a troubled spirit this morning, you need to get to terms with this and come to grips with this, that he wants to bring his peace. It's my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Demolish fear by establishing the peace of God in your heart by the reign of the Lord Jesus. And then, let me tell you this, he brings you onto a path of peace as well, a peace that passes all understanding, that will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And you know, when Jesus meets his disciples in John 20, in the upper room, his first words, peace be with you. Peace be with you. When you meet Jesus, the first word that hits you is peace. Is that where you're at? Or is your life just up in the air? Is that, where are your relationships? Are they at a place of peace? His desire is that you might know peace and love and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you know what it says here? Just back to those verses. It says, these will be his royal titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. It's expanding. You say, well, doesn't feel like it's expanding right where we are at the moment. Let me tell you, it's expanding. God isn't thrown by all the little breezes that blow across, by all the little dictators that rise up, by all the bureaucracy that tries to get you down. God isn't thrown by any of that at all. Step outside of it for a moment and realize this. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where you live. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. And what more can you say than this? The passionate commitment of the Lord will guarantee it. There's a lifetime guarantee. And not your lifetime, his lifetime. It never ends. God establishes it all. His passionate commitment, his commitment to you, his commitment to his purpose, his commitment to the destiny that God has in mind for himself and for you and for me, that we share a common destiny in Christ. Do you believe it? Rise up and take it. It's the promise of God. He invites you to come. Just as you were invited to the table, he invites you to come to a higher table. He invites you to come to a higher throne. He invites you to come to a higher hope. He invites you to come to a higher purpose. He invites you to a destiny that's secure in him and that the world can never bring down. It calls out to you and it asks one thing from you. It asks for your passionate commitment. Because the great thing about this clever gospel, about the clever promises, about the clever purposes of God, they're so clever that God doesn't need bars to keep people out. He opens the door wide open. And the only bars that keep people out are in the human heart and in the human mind. He invites you. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You're coming not just to him for a moment, for a touch, for a moment of light release from your problems. You're coming to him as the royal king. The one with royal titles. The one who says, come to me, and the whole package is yours. You can live in the power of God with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit and know this, that from this day on, he will promise you that in him you will walk in victory. What a challenge. So, if you know this morning that you've got needs, if you know you've got problems, if you know that your life's in a turmoil, and yet at the same time you say, well, I do believe. Maybe some of you this morning, you've never come to faith in Christ. Let me tell you, there's an open door for you to come, just as you are. He'll deal with your sin. He will bring you to repentance. He will bring you into the fullness of his promises. But if you're a believer and you're still struggling, maybe there are things yet that God wants to just break through in your life. And we want to pray for you. We'll pray for you. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have coffee. But some of us will be here. And we're going to pray for you. So please don't go. I've got my friend Dave's with me and Carol. They spend a lot of time with us in the outpouring meetings in Wallingford, in 2008, 2011, and they'll pray as well. They're good friends of ours. And we can bring you into things by the power of the Spirit that God wants to bring you into. We can help you to make that transition, that step. So please come. Let us pray for you. Let us bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we just pray together? Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you that for all you've done for us in Christ. Thank you that all of it's available. And Lord, we want to be rising up as men and women of God and taking hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. Help us to step from where we are at the moment, Lord. We want to step into the victory. We want to step into that royal place. We want to step into the place where your authority and your wisdom and your power and your Father heart and your peace can abide in us and bring us to that place of absolute freedom and assurance in Christ Jesus. And we ask it because we want him to be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just going to play this. If people want to come forward for prayer ministry, then please do. During the song is fine.